I want to turn the scriptures to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in the chapter 15. It seems very appropriate to read a portion just now that deals with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, the death and the resurrection of Christ, and then bringing us down to the text that we want to consider for a little time this evening. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and reading just 8 verses together from verse 3 down to verse 10, that 10th verse that we will read tonight being my text. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But we come here now to the text that we want to home in on tonight, a text that brings us to the grace of God. In fact, the word grace is mentioned 3 times in this one verse. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And it's the second part of the text that I want to give some little emphasis to this evening. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Let's bow together for a moment's prayer. Our gracious God, we thank thee for those things that we have heard this evening, the reports from the various mission fields of the world. We thank thee that our hearts are gladdened to know that the work of God under the circumstances that we find ourselves in the nations of the world, is going on. We thank thee that the seed of the gospel is still being sown. Your word is still going out into the world. And we thank thee that work is being done. We praise thee that under these difficult times, we have heard of souls being brought to Christ, some of the children that have been saved through the children's work, and through the preaching of the word week by week, others that we've heard of coming to the Savior. Now we pray as we think about God's grace, that you will open our hearts to your word, that you will bless us tonight in the message, that you will speak to us. Give me the grace, the wisdom, and the power that I need as a preacher of the word to bring this message tonight. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Grace, of course, is the unmerited favor of God toward undeserving men. And we need grace in these days to carry us through in what has been most difficult circumstances. It's good to know that there is grace for every circumstance of life. There is saving grace. That grace that puts us into Christ. That grace that unites us to the Lord. That grace that brings us to have a standing with Almighty God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is God extending his favor towards undeserving sinners. Not one of us deserved to be saved. There was nothing good in us. There was nothing lovely about our sin. In fact, sin had separated us from God, and sin brought us into a place where we were liable to be damned forevermore in hell. We deserve to die. We deserve to be punished. But it's the grace of God that teaches us the gospel, that teaches us our sin, and teaches us about Christ, the remedy for our sin, and that grace that brings us into a standing with God that saves our soul. Saving grace. And then there is suffering grace or sustaining grace. You remember the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, a problem in his flesh that troubled him greatly. You remember how he brought it before the Lord and prayed earnestly three times over. But God said no as far as a positive answer to that prayer was concerned. But God did promise him grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And this is the grace that we need in the trials of life. Some thorn in the flesh that you have. Some stormy and tempestuous crisis that has overtaken you in life's journey. Some grieving disappointment. Some great burden that's weighing down upon you. Some tragedy that has overtaken you in life. And of course, our hearts are with the Arnold family tonight. We were all shocked to learn on Tuesday night of Matthew's passing. And young Matthew was buried today. And our thoughts are with the family. And of course, we feel for those who are affected by this virus, COVID-19, that has spread through the nations of the world. And I think all of us know of some friends, some acquaintance who has been affected. Some of them are very sick. Indeed, some of them have died. And we know about them tonight. And then there's other burdens that press down upon you this very evening. Well, it's only the grace of God that can bring us through. Upholding grace, sufficient grace. That sufficient grace of Almighty God. And then there is what we might call superabounding grace. I love that little text in the epistle of James, James chapter 4 and verse 6, where it says, He giveth more grace. And that's good to know. It's good to know that there's a great supply of grace and that God adds grace to grace. Annie Johnston Flint wrote that beautiful hymn, He Giveth More Grace. It's the hymn 458 in our own hymn book. Her parents died when she was in childhood. She grew up as an orphan. But she grew up in a family that knew the Lord and taught her the scriptures. Annie had a dream of becoming a concert pianist. But that dream was dashed as she developed severe rheumatoid arthritis in her early 20s. By the age of 30, she could no longer walk. Her hands were twisted, her body was disfigured, and she rarely slept very well because of extreme discomfort. But Christ was being powerfully transformed in Annie through pain and suffering. She became a prolific writer and poet. She often reflected upon the Word of God, His promises, and His abiding presence in those poems that she wrote. Though she spent most of her life shut inside in her little room, she rarely complained about her condition. Why? Because she proved what the Scripture tells us here and what she wrote about. He giveth more grace. But then there is tonight, and we're coming now to the text, there is serving grace. And I want to highlight that with you this evening. Paul speaks about it here in the 10th verse, that last part of the verse, where he says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, we're meeting under very strange circumstances this evening. Our country is in lockdown because of coronavirus. The schools, the universities, the businesses, the parks, so many other things, they are closed. Our churches are closed. Our home missionaries are curtailed very much in what they do from day to day. And our missionaries who are on the mission field tonight, they are isolated. The mission board meets now in a more remote fashion. But we continue to serve. And we continue to serve by the grace of God in whatever capacity we can. And I trust, like the apostle here, more abundantly. Now, it's not the time to slacken, because the Lord has given us many, many opportunities to serve Him in these days. I think that our ministers are doing all that they can to keep up the work and present the gospel and to preach the word. And our missionaries likewise are doing the same in their respective works. And so the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is going out, and there's the opportunity now to show a lot of practical Christianity. And I want to think about this serving grace that all of us need as we continue in the work of the Lord, whether it's here at home or on the mission field. And I have three simple thoughts that I want to leave with you. First of all, the energy that characterized Paul's ministry. And Paul uses the word in our text, labored, as he describes the work which God had called him to and the manner in which he carried it out. Now, this word labored in the original is the word that means toiled. It means to work hard with effort. It means even to work until worn out, to be exhausted by our labors. Do you remember when the Lord in Luke chapter 5 told his disciples to launch out into the deep, to let down their nets for a draught? They replied, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." That is the same word, the same root word that is used. Toiled, hard labor. When Paul was sending his greetings to his friends and fellow workers in Romans chapter 16, he greeted Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord, and also Persis, which labored much in the Lord. And again, the same word is employed, indicating diligent, hard work, almost until you are worn out. Now, God is looking for you and I to serve Him in this way, to work hard in our Christian ministry and service, to put our hand to the plow, as it were, to persevere with tireless effort in bringing souls to Christ. And this is the kind of laborer that you want to be. Whatever it is that God has called you to. It's maybe the Sunday school or the children's work. Perhaps it's your ministry working with the young people of our denomination. Maybe it is in the ministry itself or on the mission field. Whatever it is, great or small, this is the kind of laborer you want to be. My friends, this is the kind of minister that I want to be for the glory of God, laboring with tireless effort, working until almost exhausted. I don't want to rust out like an old plow that is sitting there at the side doing nothing. And of course, there is a particular application to the preacher, to the minister of the word, when we think of the word labor. Let the elders that rule well, you remember the instructions of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. And that word labor is the same word, referring to the teaching elder, to the minister of the gospel. So whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, you're to do it with your might. And you know, sometimes that text is misquoted in the sense that all is not there. Do it with all thy might. But that is the thought behind it. Whatever your hand finds to do, whatever work God gives you to do, whatever work comes along your way, you are to do it with all your might. So go, labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? The energy that characterized Paul's ministry, this laboring with great intensity. But then secondly, there is the enthusiasm that categorized Paul's ministry. And I want you to note the words here. He says, "I labored more abundantly than they all." Now this is how Paul carried out his work. This is how Paul labored for Christ. This describes, in fact, the entire ministry and missionary work of the great apostle. More abundantly. Paul labored more abundantly than all the apostles. Now, not all the apostles put together, but he labored more than any one of them when singly considered. He labored in the Lord's vineyard, in the word and in doctrine. He preached in season and out of season. He traveled over a greater part of the world than most. He preached more often. He wrote more than any of the rest. He was the instrument in the conversion of many, many souls, and he planted more churches. He endured more hardships and suffering than any of the other apostles. This was not a proud boast of the Apostle Paul. This was very simply a humble admission before God, as he writes here by the inspiration of God, that this is the way that he carried out his ministry. He labored more abundantly. Now, of course, the other apostles and disciples of Christ labored. And undoubtedly, they labored with hard zeal. Paul was not saying that they were lazy or that they did not make the mark in their ministry, but he was saying that he himself labored with exceptional hard work, more abundantly. That's the kind of description that you would want to have written over anything that you do for Christ. The least service, the most insignificant task, the smallest contribution that you make, as well as the great tasks that the Lord has appointed you to do. More abundantly. It would be a very sad reflection that with coronavirus pandemic and the lockdown conditions that we're laboring under now, that somehow our work and our ministry would diminish, or that some servant of God would seek to take his ease and sit back and rest and do as little as possible. We are where we are in the providence of God. And this is not a time to slacken in God's work, but to strengthen the work that we're involved in, to redouble our efforts, and probably all the more in fact of the light that many, many souls out there are perishing in their sin, and they are dying and going out into eternity, and going out into eternity without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe COVID-19 will be the wake-up call. Maybe it will make you and I sit up. Maybe it will cause the alarm bells to ring. Maybe it will come like a trumpet blast to you and I to remind us of what is happening every day, whether with the virus or without the virus. Souls are dying in their thousands all around us. Souls are rushing out into eternity without Jesus Christ. And who cares? Who is troubled? Who is moved deeply in their heart? Who is burdened and concerned and broken for the lost souls of men? Is it not time to labor more abundantly? Is it not time to use every avenue to get the message of the gospel out to a perishing world? The mission board has set up the means to reach the children, and we're thankful to the Lord for those involved in that ministry. Our churches are doing the same. Even though we can't gather our children to Sunday school and the children's meeting yet, the word is still going out over the internet to them. And our missionaries are still laboring for Jesus Christ in whatever aspect they can. Our ministers are seeking to maintain the cause of the gospel as far as it lies within us. And help is being given to the community by our congregations, and that's a good thing. Sabbath services are being broadcast. In fact, if anything, congregations are increasing rather than diminishing, because more people are listening in on the internet than ever before. And so a witness is being made to the world out there in the gospel, over the internet, texting, emailing, and so forth. I've been putting out a little daily devotion message on Facebook and on WhatsApp. I'm telling you this tonight because I am very humbled by the views and the shares, whatever it is that happens out there where people get to see it. I know of one man in Antrim, and when he receives a little video on WhatsApp, he sends it out to 40 of his friends and neighbours. Many of them are unsaved. I know of another lady who shares it on her Facebook, and she tells me that she has thousands of those that follow her. And we just pray that the word is going out there more than even before. Our missionaries are reaching out with practical help to their church members, to their neighbours, and especially with this food help that they're receiving just now. And I'm sure this will be for the furtherance of the gospel. It's a stepping stone in our practical Christianity, reaching hearts with the glorious gospel of Christ. And even if it was not, this is what we are as Christians. And Christ will recompense us on the day of great judgment, as we know from Matthew 25. And then I have one final little thought, and it's this: the endowment that energized Paul's ministry. And what was that endowment? It was the endowment of grace. Look at the rest of the text. As he speaks here about laboring more abundantly, this is what Paul said: "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul attributes all that he was able to do to the grace of God and nothing of himself. And though he had worked hard, yet he knew that his hard work was the work that he was able to accomplish by the grace of God alone. "Flowing through me, thou canst use me every day and every hour." My friends, if the grace of God is flowing through us, then God can use us. It was grace that saved the great apostle Paul. It was grace that called him with a holy calling into the work. It was grace that made him into the apostle of Christ and the preacher of the gospel that he became. It was grace that sent him out as a missionary to complete those three, and if you take his journey, his final journey to Rome as a fourth, to complete those four missionary journeys. It was the grace of God that used him in the saving of many, many precious souls and in the founding and the planting of churches. It was the grace of God that upheld him in his sufferings, and it was the grace of God that enabled him to continue until his dying day. And here Paul is careful to magnify the free favor of God and the gifts of his grace and even the very means of grace without him, which enabled him to fulfill his God-given ministry. And when God enables us to labor, enables us to labor more abundantly with zeal and with enthusiasm, to labor tirelessly, fervently, continuously, and successfully, my dear friends, learn this: it's all by the grace of God. God gives to his ministers, to his missionaries, to his evangelists, and to his workers grace. Grace to serve him. Every Christian is called to serve the Lord. Oh, maybe not in what we call full-time ministry, like a minister or a missionary, but you're called to serve the Lord if you're a child of his. As somebody once said, if you're not a missionary, then you are the mission field. If you're not the missionary trying to reach people with the gospel, well, then you're on the other side. You are those that men and women are trying to reach with the gospel. And you should look for every opportunity to serve Christ, and God will give you the grace that is necessary to do all that is required. Now, perhaps there are those tonight, and God is calling you. I trust that that's the case, even at this very meeting, as you've listened to the reports, as you're hearing the word of God just now, that God is calling you. Maybe the Lord's been working in your heart over the past little while, and you feel inadequate. You feel unqualified. You feel unsuitable for the task. You're maybe saying tonight, well, you know, I could never preach. I could never stand in a pulpit and minister the word. I could never deal with the hard situations of the pastorate, broken homes, broken lives, broken families, broken hearts. Listen, my friends, God will equip you and God will give you the grace that you need, the serving grace. You say, well, I could never be a missionary. I could never leave home. I could never leave the comforts that I enjoy. I could never face loneliness. I could never face difficulty. I couldn't face the culture, the climate, the diseases of another country, foreign country. I couldn't learn a language. You need to learn, my friends, that God gives grace to serve. And if He calls you, He will equip you. God gives serving grace to be wise in what we do. He gives serving grace to be winsome, that we might win others to the Savior. He gives grace that we might be warm-hearted, zealous, and enthusiastic in the work. He gives grace that we might be watchful over our own lives and over the lives of those that we minister to. He gives us grace to be willing to do whatever God is calling us to do. He gives us grace to be waiting upon God in prayer. He gives us grace to be walking a holy life as an example to others out there. And to our missionaries, I want to say to you tonight, continue to serve. Do what you can to evangelize the lost. Do what you can to support and edify the saints. Do what you can to reach out to the needy in your communities, to care for the sick, and to build the Church of Jesus Christ, even under the difficult circumstances in which we labor. And to potential missionaries, ministers, and laborers in the vineyard of God, God is calling you now, right now. And my friends, He will equip you for every task, and He will give you the needed grace. Hand your life over to the Lord right now. You say to Him in the quietness of where you're meeting in your home, "Here am I, Lord. I present my body. I give my life over on the altar of sacrifice. Oh God, take me and use me as a servant in your hands." And may we be able to say in our day, as the great apostle was able to say in his, "I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Take up the challenge from the Lord tonight. And if we can help you, don't hesitate to contact us. That's why the mission board is here. That's why our ministers are here. We will help you. We will encourage you all that we can. And if God is speaking to you about Christian service in these days, I trust that you will have that grace to hand yourself over to the Lord and say, "Lord, here tonight I give myself away to Thee. Use me for Your glory." Feel at liberty to contact any one of us on the mission board. If the Lord is calling you, may the Lord speak to your heart right now with deep conviction, and may you respond readily and willingly to Him. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we acknowledge again Your goodness to us tonight. Thank Thee for the reports that have challenged us all. Thank Thee that we have been enlightened as we have thought of the work in the various countries to which our missionaries have gone. Thank Thee too for the challenge of bringing in finance to distribute food to the needy. And Lord, we pray that every need will be met. And Lord, most of all, we thank Thee for Your word and for the example of the great apostle who labored more abundantly than they all and did so by the grace of God. How we praise Thee, no matter what it is that God has called us to, there is grace to help us in our Christian work and service. Lord, put Your hand upon some young life tonight, some people perhaps listening in to this service, and call them by Your grace into the work for Jesus' sake. Amen.